Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to Duck Snort Baseball Podcast. I'm Greg Nix.
I'm Wayland McQueen.
And we are back with the a show for the final week of the first half of the baseball season. Can you believe it?
Wow.
Actually, I don't know about every team, but I know that today, as we're speaking, the White Sox have played 81 games.
Oh.
So
doing record-wise, surprisingly well.
Surprisingly well, yeah. So we are halfway through, which is pretty fun. We'll be doing sort of our total first half recap next week when it is the All-Star break. But time does fly, doesn't it?
Ugh, so much.
I feel like maybe I should get that on a needlepoint or something.
Time does fly.
Time does fly.
With a little fly carrying a clock.
That would be fly does time.
Fly drags clock. Time. I don't know.
Before we get into our hot baseball talk, let's give a shout out to Boardwalk Audio and to OffTheBenchBaseball.com for their support and with distributing and producing this show. You can go to BoardwalkAudio.com for more great podcasts. You can also go to OffTheBenchBaseball.com for baseball analysis. And just a little sneak peek, next week we'll have Off the Bench co-founder Max Frankel on the show.
Ooh.
Very excited about
He's going to have some opinions.
He's going to have some takes. I don't want to spoil
opinions.
Any of them because I don't know what they are, but there'll be takes. Takes on takes.
We do
on
know
takes.
What they are. We recorded it in April.
So. Yeah, it's sort of a season preview. And we're just going back to see if we can make him look like a jerk for his bad predictions. Well, all of our analysis is going to be spot on.
Been perfect, yeah.
So I guess the big sad news that we just want to touch on real quick, I guess, is that we just found out that Tyler Skaggs of the Angels passed away, and they canceled the Angels Rangers game. But very sad.
Mm-hmm.
Not much more to be said about it besides that. Don't know the cause of death or anything like that. But regardless, only 27. A good pitcher from all accounts, a good guy and a leader in the Angels clubhouse. And so just always sad to see someone of that age pass away, and especially a baseball player who, you know, we've watched. And we were just talking right before recording about how it definitely recalls memories of Nick Adenhart on the Angels, but also Yordano Ventura and Jose Fernandez and just guys who we've lost too soon. And it just really sucks.
Yeah, it's always a bummer, and it's like one of those things I feel like that part of baseball, I think it's fair to say the main reason anybody likes baseball is because it's an escape from regular life.
Sure, yeah.
And it sucks any time that the bad parts of real life have to be sucked into baseball.
Right, yeah. You don't want those Venn diagrams to overlap. You don't want those reminders, and it does happen a lot, especially, I don't know, with baseball just happens kind of almost year round, you know, and so those life does tend to butt in, and so
sad news.
Yeah, it sucks, and you know, our thoughts are with Angels fans and with obviously the Skaggs family and his friends and the team, and that's all we got to say about that. So Moving on, I guess, to lighter news. About the lightest that you can get when it comes to baseball, I guess, is the All-Star teams were announced. Something that truly does not matter.
Yeah. Talk about escape. Now let's argue about All-Star teams for 45 minutes.
So I don't know. Let's start. So next week is the All-Star break, which I always am sort of bummed when the All-Star break happens, just because you get to watch so much less baseball. I suddenly recognize the void or the amount of time in my life that baseball takes up. And then there's a void.
It feels like a weird break.
Yeah.
I should congratulate you on your, I'm going to put an asterisk next to your win, for having correctly predicted who got the most votes. Because this stupid two-round system. So I put an asterisk next to it.
An asterisk on my victory, but my victory nonetheless.
Yeah, you'll get your jersey.
Yes. So
size child's medium.
Hey, dude, I'll show off the guns. I don't care. I'll show off the guns and maybe a little belly button, too. So if anybody had missed an episode, we bet on who would be the All-Star leading vote-getter. I think that there's actually two asterisks, because I believe that Mike Trout passed both Bellinger and Christian Yelich. But in the first round, Bellinger beat Yelich by about 15,000.
Yeah.
In the second round, Yelich beat Bellinger by about 60,000, something around
there. Still really close, because we're talking millions of votes.
Yeah, and in the first round, Bellinger and Yelich were the two leading vote-getters. Trout did pass them in the final round, because of course everybody would vote for Mike Trout when it's down to nine people. But I will take my victory with two asterisks. You can get me, if you want, a custom Yelich jersey that has Yelich and an asterisk
on
the back.
No, we set zero parameters, so I'm gonna have a lot of fun picking out my favorite Yelich jersey for you to have to wear.
Oh god, just don't give me a like camouflage one or something.
That's the first thing I thought of. It'd be cool if they still sold like a jersey of those like future game or the future.
Oh, those future
from, like,
jerseys.
Was it late 90s? I think.
Yeah, yeah. It was when the 90s. Pirates still had that like weird ass pirate logo.
I don't remember what the Brewers one looks like, obviously, but that
I'm
would
sure
be
it's ugly.
That would be
they
the dumbest thing
ugly.
To ever wear. But we'll see. We'll see what I'll send it to your new house.
Yeah. Little personal news. I'm moving into
okay
a new house.
And here's the address, everyone.
And here's the address. You can send me bombs or housewarming gifts. Your choice.
What a nice guy. But yeah, so All-Star.
Yeah, so do you have any All-Star hot takes? Snubs? Guys who made it who didn't deserve it?
I feel like Hunter Dozier was a little bit of a snub. I feel like Xander Bogaerts was a pretty significant snub. I feel like, who else was I going to say? For Luke Voit was maybe a little bit of a snub, since I think Abreu over Voit is worthy of mention.
Yeah.
Not that Abreu's having a terrible season, but I think Voit is probably more deserving than Abreu.
Yeah,
and this is as I hate advocating for another Yankee.
For a Yankee, yeah, I guess you can. The rare case actually for the Yankees where it's like not the established star. Like I feel like usually it's other teams getting snubbed for the established star on the Yankees, but Abreu certainly has like more name recognition and more. He's more recognizable, and he like. I think the Cuban thing is always interesting. It brings a different sort of dynamic to just like, gives a reason for another subsect of fans to watch maybe. But I do agree he's not having the best season, and maybe
Voit
deserves it more.
He's not their only representative. Like Giolito very deservingly made it.
As did James McCann.
James McCann. I think it's one of those things that's harder to swallow when it's like, oh, wait, so they don't need a White Sox player on there? Any thoughts?
I mean, I'm happy to see three White Sox, obviously. Yeah. That is not usually something that happens. The White Sox usually get like one guy and you know, you got to be grateful for it. And they had a couple guys. Actually, my big snub is just Tim Anderson, because I love Tim Anderson. But the AL shortstop race was very deep.
Yeah.
Also, you know, there's plenty of, and they only picked two, but there's plenty of guys who could argue that they were snubbed in that race.
Only one twin made it, which I feel like can't.
I thought they got two. Did they get two?
Did I miss one?
I think they did. They not get. Didn't Mike Minor make it? Or not? Odorizzi? Didn't Odorizzi make it?
You're right. Odorizzi made it, and
Jorge Polanco.
Polanco, but only two. Kepler. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, it's tough. Whatever. Like, I don't know if there's anybody on this squad that I'm like.
I think probably Nelson Cruz would be the guy who you're like is a perennial all-star and is having a good year, but like Hunter Pence winning the fan vote sort of through the... I'm totally happy that Hunter Pence is on the team, but if JD Martinez had won, I bet Cruz would be the reserve.
But Martinez did make it. Oh, you're saying over Pence.
Yeah, because the way they do that voting, it's like...
Yeah.
The players all vote for their first choice and then their second choice, or whatever. They do ranked voting. So I think if Martinez was the starter, that then Cruz would have made it. But, you know, some interesting, I always think first-time All-Stars are interesting. Joey Gallo, Austin Meadows. I do think it's a bit of a snub that Manny Machado didn't make it.
Tatis didn't make it either, which I think is actually a pretty significant
slub. Max Muncy, I would have loved to see make it. Bogarts, as you mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I don't know. Kettel Marte making it starting. Is very interesting.
Yeah.
It's like a very, he deserves it, I feel
he
like.
He definitely deserves like it, but you don't think of like Arizona as being a team where, you know, they have a lot of like fan support like,
yeah,
something.
Yeah,
like
I mean,
this.
Goldschmidt made sense, but he was so good for so long.
But Marte is like bashing the ball. He has 20 friggin' homers. He's like a kind of a small dude, I think, too. Not like Altuve small, but he definitely, this is a shocking power output that we actually mentioned a little bit.
Three starters for the Dodgers, which is insane. I'm moving around on everything. But I don't know if like there were any snubs that I'm like,
I mean,
furious. A Dozier would have been nice.
Yeah,
and
as a Royals fan.
I don't think I'm crazy thinking that Dozier deserves it.
No,
so,
definitely not.
But that's really the only one where I was like,
who
damn.
Is the Royals representative?
Whit Merrifield.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And I think,
is
like,
this his first, or did he make one?
No, he's made one before, I'm pretty sure. But I think it'd been cool for Dozier. I think that Soler is having a good enough year where maybe, but I'm sure the AL outfield's so stacked that doesn't make any sense.
You know, the American League pitching staff is pretty strange in that, like, there's, like, you're missing Chris Sale. You're missing some of the bigger names.
Yeah.
There's a lot of first-timers on the pitching staff, which I guess there probably always is.
Yeah.
But it also seems like a place where they kind of stuck a lot of the single representatives with, like, Shane Green and John Means.
It is very funny that
Marcus
an Oriole
Stroman.
Pitcher,
yeah.
that a pitcher is representing them.
I don't know. I'm excited.
I think it'll be cool. Who do you think is the start? Verlander, probably?
Probably. I think, you know, some White Sox folks are making the case for Giolito, but...
I think it's a strong case, but I think...
Yeah, but
be
if you're... It's the All-Star game, like...
Yeah,
Justin Verlander. It should be, like, Justin Verlander against Max Scherzer.
I know, that's,
you know?
Like, the like, smartest thing, and that's probably what it will be.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe DeGrom.
It could be Ryu.
Possibly Ryu. Yeah. It also obviously always depends on the schedule and how it lines up, and I'm sure get a lot of replacements, a lot of, you know, injury replacements. Wait, so are they this? I'm an idiot, I guess, because I should know this, but did they eliminate the like 26th man,
the final
voting,
vote,
the final vote,
because
it
weird
was the second
tiered
vote?
System? Got I like it. This better than the final vote.
Yeah, I think so.
Part of the what made the final vote dumb was like at least three of those players ended up making it anyway because of the
injuries and
injuries. And so this feels like a better situation.
Yeah,
to
I guess. Yeah. So you're fine. You liked the new system?
Yeah. I don't have any problem with it. I think the fans are at this point are getting savvy enough where like there aren't any like big misses for starting.
Yeah. I do think it added a little bit of, it made it a little bit more interesting. Not a lot more interesting, but a little bit. Like, because usually at this point, right, like somebody has, like, usually in the like final update or whatever of voting totals, it's like, say, there's 17 positions that they got to fill and like 16 of them are like easily determined already by like, oh, somebody has a 500,000 vote lead.
It's so, like adding the wild card. So
if you're out of the division,
you can still make it.
Right. But, makes it a little more interesting at the end. Did anybody like who was the leading voter get bumped?
I mean, I don't remember all of them off the top of my head. So was Marte leading?
I don't know.
That's the only one that would be.
Yeah, maybe.
I think Freeman Baez definitely was. I think Arenado was. Yeah, I think that's how it ended up shaking
out. It wasn't
out.
Actually probably exciting, but just a little more uncertainty, I guess.
But I feel like there could be. I just think it was like pretty clear on all the positions who should be starting when we saw the three. There weren't a lot where I was, because I voted in the final, and there were only a couple where I was like, Most of the time I was like, well, this is just very obvious who it should be.
I'll give MLB credit for just like messing around with it, trying to figure out like, cause in the end, the All-Star game is just it's a promotional event. It's for the fans. Yeah. Like I think they should be experimenting in the same way that they've changed the Home Run Derby format and they've changed like various things about All-Star weekend. I think it makes sense to mess around with the voting and just figure out what is the most compelling way to do this. And like maybe eventually, you know, that, you go away from AL versus NL even, and it's...
Oh, like what hockey did? Or did basketball do that too?
Basketball implemented a draft.
That's
where
right.
the two leading vote-getters picked their teams. Hockey, I think, does World versus USA, right?
Or they were at some point. I don't know.
I think either of those options would be pretty interesting.
World versus USA in baseball would be crazy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean... That's how they do it in the futures game, right? I believe.
Is it?
Yeah. So I think like definitely keep playing around with that. Keep playing like.
You just want people talking about it.
Yeah, and we've talked about how adding more events. Baseball's fastest man, I think, is this. would be super fun, or like I guess the Home Run Derby is a strength contest, but I don't know.
Like a throwing someone out at home contest is.
Yeah, I feel like they'd be hesitant to do anything with throwing because people would just, But all that to say.
I think it's. I don't have anything against it. I don't think it made it weirder.
No.
So at least, at the worst, it was neutral.
Yeah, there wasn't a crazy outcome that you'd be like, huh? Like, how did Pudge Rodriguez get to be the starting catcher or something?
Yeah, I feel. Yeah, I'm a big fan of when players that like first time players and things like that get recognized. So it seems like there's a lot of good.
How about All-Stars versus Legends? And we just get like a bunch of dudes who retired in the last like 10 years to come out and play.
So you just get people that,
you got to handicap like the All-Stars somehow probably, but.
So you have to be Hall of Fame eligible, but not in the Hall of Fame. Let's say that.
Yeah.
Okay. So that would like get a lot. So, but then Barry Bonds could come play if you wanted to.
I think you could have Hall of Famers. Like if it was like, you know,
I don't know why I made that caveat.
Biggio or somebody who was elected pretty recently.
I wonder they would get destroyed.
The Legends?
Yeah.
Oh, obviously. And like they'd get hurt. And so that's what I'm saying. You got to handicap them. Give them
something.
You know, start him with a lead or I don't know what it would be.
I don't know either. Yeah. They would just get so. But I wonder like if, I mean, it would be cool to see like Greg Maddux like
It'd be awesome like to see Mike Maddux.
Mike Maddux. Out,
MLB legend Mike Maddux coming out of the bullpen.
The greatest pitching coach of all time. Yeah, that's what everyone wants to see. Yeah, so it has to be people that you barely remember playing. That's the caveat. That's the fun. That's the fun of it. Yeah, I don't know.
Here
always
comes Eric Milton representing the Twins.
And is that Matt Watton, I see? they get more old Twins in. That's a good idea. We got to sell that.
Yeah. That sounds like something that they'd put on like DAZN, that streaming service, or like ESPN Plus. Like the like old timers. Did you hear about what was the league that like Chipper Jones was playing in?
Wait,
did you hear about this?
No, I haven't heard about this.
It was like some like semi-pro league, like celebrity pro-am, like I don't know, but there was a team with like Chipper Jones and like a bunch of recent MLB retirees.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
is
let me
baseball?
Google it and see if I can. Yes,
baseball. Well, this could be softball.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Is it hockey?
Yeah, I was like, what else would?
No, I did. I haven't watched the whole video yet. I don't know if you've watched it, but everyone needs to Google Finnish baseball.
Oh, I haven't
watched
it yet.
The first 30 seconds. It is bonkers.
Yeah.
If you've never heard of it, Google Finnish baseball, because basically the story is that apparently someone from Finland watched like one or a few baseball games and then came back and taught people what he remembered baseball was.
That's pretty amazing.
Or what he thought it was. And it is very wacky.
All right. I can't find
this.
Has
Chipper
Jones
been scrubbed from the internet?
Yeah. You maybe. Google him and you just get a middle finger. It's weird.
Just goes to johnrocker.com.
Is that a real website?
I don't know. Probably. I have no idea what John Rocker's up to.
I don't want to know either. All right. Well, that's our all-star talk.
That's it. I feel like I can't. It's hard to get worked up
about
it.
Yeah, there's no strong opinions you can have about the All-Star game. Besides, part of me feels like the All-Star break should be a whole week, and part of me feels like they should get
too
rid
long.
Of it.
I don't think players would want it to be a week, would they? Maybe the players that actually have to play in the All-Star game.
You know what? I was just reading a really interesting article written by former guest of the show, Levi Weaver, who's a writer for The Athletic, who covers the Rangers, and he did an article. The Rangers implemented this deload program for their new draft picks, especially for high school draft picks, where they basically shut them down for like 4 months after drafting them or whatever. Didn't let them throw anything.
Whoa.
But brought them into their like facility, and they were doing like weight training, strength training, all this kind of stuff. The effort was to protect arms, but they ended up having a higher instance of like Tommy John surgery based on this. And then they were talking to sort of like a biomechanics expert who had been like working on, I forget what, it's one of these products, like I think it's like a elbow sleeve, something like that measures. But he was talking about how he was interviewed in this article, and he was talking about how one of the, like, in order to keep your arm healthy, like with this heavy load that pitchers have and with the high stress, you actually need like sort of a constant stress on that to keep your elbow.
Does it like atrophy in some way?
Yeah, exactly. It like tightens up, or like if you don't use it. And so there's actually statistically an uptick in pitcher injuries after the All-Star break.
Because
they haven't been throwing on the same program. And like even that short of a break can sort of affect specifically elbows, I guess.
Wow.
Which is like pretty fascinating.
That is fascinating. And even when you're describing it, I was like, that seems cool for the Rangers. But I was like, the problem needs to start with like 12-year-olds. like when you're first throwing, the problem doesn't need to start. The fix, like the program needs
maybe
to, like,
yeah.
Like that's the problem, is that by the time you're 16, you're throwing max effort,
right?
And you're throwing curveball. You've been throwing curveball since you were 12, and you've been throwing as fast as you could,
right?
And then that's why.
I mean, there's probably some middle ground, right? In which, like, okay, for the first year of being in the system, you were throwing at you know, this number of pitches on this schedule, yeah, and it's gradually ramping up to build that, yeah, sort of like baseline stress,
that's
level,
true,
baseline,
yeah,
fitness level for the, for, yeah, the elbow, and you like keep doing it through the off season probably and stuff like, yeah, that. But like that feels like the next, last week at the end of the show, we were talking about like what's the next advancement, yeah, or whatever. And it feels like figuring out this, like, because Tommy John surgeries are just like so prevalent now,
yeah,
and it's,
and they're getting younger.
Yeah, and there's so many lost days on the disabled list at the, mm-hmm, major, at every level, really. That it feels like, oh, if somebody figures out the elbow regimen that will like keep Tommy John from happening.
But it's probably good to the biometrics to identify like the fact that taking away stress atrophies your elbow,
yeah,
or whatever,
for sure.
Because then you could work and find, like you said, the middle ground. You can find the minimum to not have that atrophy,
right?
What,
yeah,
I am calling
that's
atrophy.
An important,
yeah,
piece
then,
of information.
Yeah, and then
sure,
you could just be hit, and there's like, okay, like, you don't have to throw max, but you have to hit this. You have to hit this every time,
right?
And then as long as you're doing that, and then like you said, you can ramp up and down. But if you can find that minimum, then that would keep the constant stress, but also keep you kind of afloat,
right?
For lack of a
or
better
or if
term,
there's like an exercise that you can do that is simulating throwing a ball,
oh, sure,
that like like, you know, exercises the elbow but doesn't put the same amount of stress on the rest,
right,
of the arm,
yeah,
or something like that, maybe.
That's interesting stuff, because I don't know. Oh, sorry.
No, go for it.
I was just going to say, it is annoying. I am annoyed by how young and how often Tommy John surgeries are happening. It's annoying, I think. And
well,
I would
it sucks
like,
as a
I
baseball
like
fan
to
like,
to,
especially like, you know, there's some kind of irony in like the amount that prospects are hyped up now compared to like even five,
right,
or 10 years,
yeah,
ago, right? It's like you learn the names of these guys who are not even prospects in your favorite team's system.
Yeah.
You just like everybody knows, you know, everybody knows the top guys, and then,
yeah,
a certain number of those top guys are pitchers, right? Like Alex Reyes was the number one pitcher or prospect in baseball a couple, few years ago, and he's had nothing but injury problems,
yeah,
since then.
I mean, it's always, there goes the guys that can't avoid injury, but like,
right,
it's also sucks for, it just sucks for the players. Like, I think it's more annoying to have so many, but have so many be people that are even in the minors or in high school. It's pretty common in high school now.
Yeah.
And it's like, that sucks when you're good enough to realistically put your eggs in the basket of turning pro in a sport. And then you have to have a very serious, possibly career derailing injury when you're 17.
Yeah.
It's like if all basketball players were starting to hurt their wrists and had to have like wrist surgery, it's like that could affect their shot forever.
Yeah. Well,
when they
I
were
mean,
young, it would be no fun.
Lucas Giolito had Tommy John,
yeah,
surgery immediately,
yeah,
after he got drafted. Like he fell in the draft because they knew he was going to have Tommy John.
Yeah.
And like, he's had a winding road to get where he is. And like, I don't think that Tommy John is at the root of the issues that he had last year, or
yeah,
like, you know, finally being healthy, being the thing that snapped him into being good this year. But like, certainly it cost him development time. It cost him, you know,
yeah,
time getting to refamiliarize himself with his body and to trust that elbow again and,
yeah,
to change his mechanics and all that. So it can, I think it can contribute to years down the road, you know?
Yeah.
And that's even if guys get back healthy, because some,
yeah,
don't ever get back to that point.
And a lot do, but then if you have to have a second one, then that's like a you know,
yeah,
rarely do people come back from a second one. So if you're having your first one when you're 17, that's going to increase your likelihood of maybe having to have another one when,
right,
you're like, and then if you have your second one when you're 31, I mean, your career is over.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Some people come
basically
back. But
I mean,
like, yeah,
for now at least. But like, I don't know. Maybe like the next thing, the next medical advancement is second Tommy John.
Yeah, but
you know,
that's like the annoying like Band-Aid. Like, let's not talk about prevention. Let's just keep doing,
right,
like,
no, I mean, obviously
prevention
is the thing.
That's
and
a
like,
very American attitude to always say, let's figure out how to fix a problem versus looking at the root and,
yeah,
preventing,
right,
the problem. But you're right. Maybe in 30 years,
or if
your fourth
just,
Tommy John surgery,
yeah,
is your
figure
death
out
blood,
how to get people back quicker, or like they,
yeah,
they in a lab they can build you a stronger ligament like from scratch.
Oh well,
like
now then stem that's cells. A whole that's a whole second debate that people are gonna get into.
Oh man,
starting,
yeah,
to get our bionic arms in there,
right? Yeah, for sure. I thought you were meant like a political debate.
Well, that
like,
too. Well, no. Well, yeah, that definitely. But no, like, I feel like once you start like genetically changing in that way, people are going to be like, well, is it now? I mean, that's going to be any sport.
Oh, for sure.
It's probably already happening in some sports. So I don't know. But
absolutely.
How did we get started on this? What were we talking about? Tommy John?
Tommy John's injuries. I don't know.
Trace it back. Regardless, I hope there are fewer Tommy Johns.
Doesn't matter. What everybody loves about this podcast is how tangential it is and how we can't.
And how we got there.
We can't
we
remember.
Have to trace it back.
How we got to talking about it. By the way, my mom just listened to this podcast for the first time.
Oh.
She told me on the phone yesterday.
Did she listen?
It was the one that we did. It wasn't the most recent one. It was like a month before. Like right before you left for Peru.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was the episode where we did our drag race catch up, and she was like, I liked all the baseball stuff. I didn't understand any of the like drag race stuff. I just didn't get it. I was like, well, that's probably
well, a lot
you
of
and
people,
everybody
yeah,
else.
Yeah. That's not the episode that's bringing the listeners in.
Right.
Or maybe it is if there's that cross section.
Right.
We were talking about skills events and throwing out your arm.
Yeah, that's right.
Speaking of that, man, I played frisbee golf before our game yesterday.
Before
Saturday,
the Sliders
before
baseball
played.
Game?
Mm-hmm. That was a bridge too far.
My
arm. And then I played dodgeball after.
Dang,
my arm's dead.
Yeah.
I have a dead arm.
You must have been exhausted in general. That's a lot of sun for one weekend. It was hot.
It was a
hot game.
It was a hot game.
A fun game, though.
Yeah, we lost 10-9, but in the bottom inning. You brought me in with an RBI.
I was the tying run in the bottom of the ninth. It wasn't actually the ninth, but it was last inning, so we'll say the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah.
I got stranded on second, unfortunately.
You hit an RBI double that brought me in from third to get us to nine.
We made some slick base running plays that ninth inning, you and I.
Yeah. We're going to tutor on horn.
Humble brag.
No, it wasn't even a humble brag.
It's just a brag.
That was an only brag.
It was a braggy brag.
But we were a great combo, so.
Yeah, we were. We were a double play combo at a certain point, too.
Oh, yeah.
Not that we got a double play, but
we were
second and short.
We were in position to be possibly turn two.
Yeah.
All right. Did we want to talk about London?
Yeah, London series. The Red Sox v. the Yankees.
And the next one's going to be Cubs-Cardinals.
Is that next year?
Yeah.
Interesting. So we are exporting our greatest rivalries, I guess.
Right. I think that's the move, right?
I suppose. I mean, certainly Red Sox-Yankees. I don't know why, you know, a fan in England would necessarily pick the Cardinals.
Yeah, but
I don't know why they'd pick. I guess any team would be random. It feels like Yankees and Red Sox are the teams that a casual European
would know.
It's like I'm not necessarily a big Premier League fan, but I know
Manchester United.
Yeah, I know Manchester United. I know Chelsea,
Liverpool,
and those are the teams that come to the United States when they're playing MLS or whatever. So. I feel like those were the correct choices. Maybe like you can make an argument for Dodgers or for Astros are probably the best team.
Yeah,
right
but
now.
I bet still probably a lot of people don't.
Yeah,
quite. I feel like Red Sox, Cubs, Yankees have to be the three, and maybe Dodgers that they know.
Mariners.
Mariners.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, Rays, Mariners. Let's send a Rays Mariners series over there, a 4-game series. did you watch any of the London games?
I caught just the barest little bit in the background, but then they were on very early here.
They were, and there were a lot of runs.
Yeah. Big scores. 17-13 in one, right? And I think the other one was like 12-8 or something like that.
Yeah, but it was 4-2 going into like the fifth or sixth or something. So I was like, oh, they're going to get a normal one. And then it exploded.
Was, as somebody who watched, was the stadium just like real, like crazy small? Is that what happened?
I mean, I didn't see the numbers. I heard that. I think it was a short center field, but there weren't. The 17-13 game only had like 6 home runs, I think, which is like a lot of home runs, but not, you know, you can have like a 10-8 game with 6 home runs.
Right.
So, I don't know what it was.
I'm trying to
I think I read that the center field was less than 400, which is a short. That's a definitely a short.
I mean, yes, Red Sox Yankees is going to be probably a high scoring series.
It could have just been
what.
The pitchers were jet lagged. You know, like it could more jet lagged than the batters. Like I don't.
Yeah, that's true.
A couple of my favorite things were, I guess, the PA announcer at one point announced that it's okay to keep the balls. Because
in soccer you can't.
Was another thing I learned is those balls were like $150.
Soccer balls?
Yeah, the ones they use. Yeah, mm-hmm. And then in cricket you can't keep a ball because there's like a rule that every cricket ball has to be used for a certain amount of bowls or pitches or whatever. I don't know. Yeah, so like that's another instance where you'd think they're cheap, but like part of the rule is that a ball is in play for this amount. It'd be like saying like every baseball is in, you use the same baseball for the first three innings or whatever, or
first
10 outs or whatever. So English fans and British fans would not be used to being able to keep a ball. So there's an announcement. And then I was reading on Reddit a bunch of people being like, whoa, really? You could just keep it? Like,
yeah.
But
what do you think about London as the place that they're doing these games versus like, a country that maybe is already more into baseball, you know?
That's a good question. I think...
Like I kind of wonder, and, like, I know the answer, but, like, you know, what they could be doing these games in the Dominican. They could be... They do Japanese series, but...
The answer is that money, though, is money.
Right, is money. So I do know the answer, but also I think it's like an... I guess there's something a little bit strange to me about like trying to turn England into a baseball country. It feels like a very, very uphill battle.
Well, I don't...
Versus like even like Italy or something, right? Had a team in the World Baseball
Classic.
Yeah,
like the Netherlands, which has the
Curaçao
connection.
Yeah, there's other countries that have more of a baseball infrastructure, and I don't think...
It's probably just way easier... Because people speak English. Like,
I mean, there's not a cultural barrier. There is a lot of money. It's not that far from the East Coast. It's like 6 hours or whatever.
Probably a lot of significant number of expats versus somewhere like Italy.
Yeah, and they did like sell a lot of tickets. Yeah. They sold almost 60,000 tickets to both of these games. So like seems as if it's a success from MLB's perspective. But like I think there's something that is just very difficult that, talking again about soccer, we've seen here, which is like it feels hard to build a sports popularity from the top down in a country.
Yes.
It's more like you need people playing it and playing it at a formative age to sort of ingrain that familiarity and that love for it. It's hard to like invent a generation.
But then how
of
do
fans.
You get people to start playing it without them getting to see it is the, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's the flip side is like, oh, they need to be, I think it's, I think you're always going to be more likely to get people into it by having the opportunity to experience it live.
Yeah.
And there
that's true.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying, I think that's what you wrestle with. I don't think it's like a dumb move. Well, I don't think you're saying it's a dumb move. I do think it would be nice. I think it would be a savvy move for baseball to have a series in Mexico City. Did they have a series in Mexico City?
I believe they did.
Yeah. And then like one in the Dominican or one in San Juan, Puerto Rico, but then also in London.
Or maybe it was San Juan. I don't know if they had both. I think for like, I totally get it, but I think for me it would be a lot more interesting to see MLB try to go to some place like the Dominican where like...
Venezuela.
Yeah, I think Venezuela might be more problematic politically.
It's like going to Cuba.
But some place where like obviously there is a strong baseball culture and like obviously MLB has benefited from that culture and like so to me there would be some benefit for MLB to do something basically out of goodwill, right? Like even if they're not going to make the same amount of money, like I still think it would be a profitable thing and it would be good for the country and it would be good for the baseball culture there and it would be good for MLB to go to a place where they've gained a lot and give back.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. But I don't think it has to be like an instead thing. I don't think you were suggesting that. But I still think go to London, but also go to the Dominican.
Right.
Or Panama, which is like an emerging.
Right.
Like find these like places where Brazil, Colombia, like these places that do have some major leaguers. And so that's to your earlier point where there is some base there.
Yeah.
And then they can help build it up that way. Australia even. Because I feel like you'll hear for baseball players coming from Australia here and there.
Yeah.
Like that might be, or South Korea or Taiwan.
Right.
Like, and I know they've gone to Asia, but it's like, it does feel like there are these places that there aren't a ton of major leaguers that you could.
But you could grow the sport on like maybe a greater scale in these places than like there is room for in England. And there's like not, there's already an appetite for baseball.
Yeah. But I mean, it's also like every other, I mean, football, I guess not really, but all these sports, hockey and basketball, are pulling people from Europe, and it's like an untapped market.
Yeah, of course, of
that
course.
Is, just money aside, it's just like opening up it as a world game, which ultimately comes back to money because you get more money. But
yeah,
I'm all for having players come from countries. But also then you should, you know, like don't necessarily go to white countries.
Right. Yeah.
Like if you're picking like a country that doesn't care about baseball, like also why don't you go to India or like
that's sort
South
of
Africa or,
part of what's like a little bit not, I'm not even going to say problematic because it's whatever. And like there are plenty of legitimate reasons to like have a game in England, but it is like a predominantly white country and like a country without any sort of baseball infrastructure, appetite, whatever. So like, I think the optics of it are like just a little bit strange to me. And so, you know, I think, okay, it's fine that they're doing the Cubs and the Cardinals next year in London, but like, I think it would be better for baseball and better for fans and like better for the world in a very small way.
Yeah.
If it was like, not like, okay, we're going to do one series in Japan and one series in England every year, and more like, okay, we did England and Japan this year, like let's go to X country, you know,
I think that it would be fun to see going to a lot of these Latin countries, which I think is most of what we're talking about as far as countries that have a baseball base.
I think so. Yeah.
It'd be fun to see how the fans, that's one of the best parts of the World Baseball Classic. It'd be fun to see how the fans respond to baseball.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
It's fun to see how English fans certainly responded to baseball, but that was for more of like a curiosity. That'd be like if cricket came here.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know. Okay, let's go watch a cricket. I don't know what this is.
Right.
But then going to a place where fans already know baseball to see how they engage with baseball would also be beneficial for the MLB. I think in a huge way.
Yeah.
I hope they do that. I hope that they go to the Dominican or to Puerto Rico or to Panama.
And South Asia America, and South other places America. In Europe. And, you know, India, I think, is an emerging baseball market. Yeah. Like,
I don't know if any African countries.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
I mean, not every country is going to like or want baseball. So it's like, I also don't want to be forcing baseball down anybody's throats. But
I do think baseball is, like speaking in a larger sense, like baseball is a huge cultural export from the United States, and like in building sort of like cultural familiarity both ways, I think it is kind of a helpful thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And basketball has done it so well.
Yeah.
Because you have basketball players from
everywhere.
Continent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coming, and so that's, it would be nice if baseball figured out how to do that. Maybe they will.
Maybe, hopefully.
Maybe if Rob's listening right now and he's taking notes.
Yeah, Robbie Manfred.
Come on, Robbie.
It would also, like, stuff like that, I think, would make, it's a small benefit, but eventually make the World Baseball Classic more interesting. So it doesn't come down to, like, oh, it's probably going to be one of these four teams, you know? It is.
Yeah, I mean, that's why baseball got taken out of the Olympics.
Yeah.
Because it was like, oh, they're only really five countries that have a strong enough
Do you hear
team.
That they are the IOC provisionally approved breakdancing for
that.
The 2024 Olympics?
So, like,
that's
like,
pretty funny.
I know the IOC is an insane organization, only rivaled by FIFA, I think, as far as corruption and bullshit. But I know one of their standards is that to be a sport, it has to have enough international appeal, which is why it took golf so long, because only a select number of countries have legit, like, top-tier golfers.
Right.
That's why American football will never be in it. That's why rugby took so long. But to think that they apparently breakdancing is big enough around the world.
I believe that.
I mean, I do, but I never even thought about it.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to be cool is, like, are there different styles? Like, what's the scoring? Like, I want to know now.
It better just be like
breakdancer is
America's Got Talent. Like, they, yeah. I want four judges. I want, yeah, like, to see them hit their button or whatever.
And there's, I've gone down a YouTube hole of watching So You Think You Can Dance competition, that show.
I think we went down a YouTube hole of watching that, like, glow breakdancing.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know what they're called. Crew unit?
Crew stuff.
That was the whitest thing I've ever seen. It's fun. It's cool. I'm not the more sports, the better, in my opinion, for the Olympics.
That was the whitest thing you ever said on this baseball podcast that you...
Probably. Probably.
Yeah, probably.
This episode.
Yeah. I don't know, I had, like, it didn't make me care that much to see baseball in England.
No,
but it's also, it's the same thing as the All-Star. I was like, all right, good for them.
Yeah.
And I do hope baseball spreads around the world, so if it achieves that goal, like, regardless where.
Yeah,
so I do
sure.
see what you're saying. So, but, like,
I don't, and I'm not like upset by it or pissed off or anything.
No,
but
I think you have a good point.
You could take this one step farther and make it better and more interesting.
Yeah.
You know?
And hopefully they do. And, like, because, like, even football was supposed to have that game in Mexico City, and then they're going to do it again this year.
Right.
Retry. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I think that's a good move, is, like, really spread it out closer to home and in places that might have a real interest in it.
Yeah.
American football, I mean, not soccer.
I'm with you. Well, with that, I think we're about out of time. I'm interested in what people think about that London series, so mm-hmm. and, like, what we've been talking about. So if you listen all this way and you have an opinion, why don't you tweet it at us at DuckSnorePod. You can include me at GregNixHuman and Waylon at WaylandXtreme. Right? Extreme with no
Extreme
E.
Extreme with
Extreme.
No E. No first E.
No first E. Yeah, that's a difficult one to describe.
Yeah. I chose it wisely. and can't change it.
thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week, as we mentioned, with Max Frankel. Thank you to Boardwalk Audio and Off the Bench. Thank you to Moonbounce and Joe Weber for our music. You know, go ahead and subscribe if you're not subscribed. Leave a review, all that good stuff. And we will talk to you guys next week. So long.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit BoardwalkAudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.